We owe $70 trillion.
I understand that, but
you don't
you
to walk out
saying,
a $4 trillion solution,
okay,
which is basically just a way.
Time again, and you are tuned into the Ooze with your host TC Downey and Jason Sorrell. TC, what's going on tonight, man?
Shit, man. Just fuck. Of course, my phone's gonna start echoing and shit. Man, I'm just chilling out, relaxing. I cleaned a shitload of tubes earlier, and I was actually impressed. I did it in like half the time that it usually takes, and I did like twice as many as I normally do. So I think I'm improving.
Right on. Dude, I remember washing tubes, man. That sucks, but you gotta do it, man. You gotta learn how to do it, and especially when you get down to, you know, taking care of your own equipment, taking care of your own tubes and everything else, you'll be all about it and everything. But yeah, I remember those days. We just got done watching the Super Bowl.
Right on. I don't pay attention to that shit, so I don't even know who's playing. So.
Yeah. We watch. This is probably the only thing we watch on television. It was the Patriots versus the Giants, and though I was pretty certain that the Patriots are going to win, we were rooting for the Giants, and the Giants managed to win the game, and they were playing in Indianapolis, Lucas Stadium or Lucas Oil Field Stadium, whatever it's called.
Right on.
So, we had Tim and Lehigh come out here. Cassandra was out here, and we basically, it was an excuse to get drunk and eat some chicken wings. And I don't think, except for Jamie, that most of us even really paid attention to the game. But it was a good time. A lot of bullshit, a lot of talking about what's going on. So, interesting day altogether, and of course, you know, it wouldn't be a party over here unless some girl got naked on the cam on the tiny chat on Sin, so that had to happen as well. So yeah, good time was had by all, I think.
Right on, nothing wrong with a little bit of nudity, that's for sure.
So, and then, of course, you know, Lehigh and Tim, they asked about the what we're planning on doing for Walpurgisnacht. And I'm not sure we're actually, that's a couple of months away. I'm not sure we're actually planning on doing anything at this point for Walpurgisnacht. We thought about maybe getting together and doing something, but I don't know if it's going to be the big to-do it was last year.
Right on. Well, I thought this year, and actually this is something I've been considering, but there's been a repeated inquiry for an actual roast edition of the Ooze. And I thought, okay, well, if we're going to do that, you know, we're going to give everybody a few months' time fucking, you know, to prepare so everybody shows up. And then beyond that, when they get there, and they need to be prepared to not only get burned, but burn as well. So, I don't know. It seemed to me that maybe the Walpurgisnacht would be a good night to hold that roast edition.
I think I saw something about this on Sin, and for people who don't know what I'm talking about, it's the Satanic International Network, www.satanicinternationalnetwork.com. Most of our listeners are familiar with this, but check that out. What's going on is, so I've seen something about how female Satan talks about being involved in the roast. And if I understand what a roast is right, you have one person who you're celebrating, basically, and then you have all their friends, if you will, get up and do a bit on, you know, just make some, pick some fun, poke some fun at them. And then at the end of the whole thing, the person that's being roasted gets up and responds, which I think would be a clever little thing to do. I think female Satan actually volunteered to do that. But yeah, I mean, I think it'd be cool. Walt Perkins Knox, who do you plan on having in? Do you have anybody in mind, or what are you thinking about doing? Just a round robin
no.
where everybody takes a shot at everybody else.
Yeah, in a nutshell, yeah, I figured, what really pushed me over, man, is I saw this movie 13. I don't know if you've seen 13 before, but it's kind of a really strange movie about, I don't know, what the hell they call that game where you Russian roulette, except for it's
okay.
Russian roulette with a group of people. So everybody's got one bullet in their gun, and they all stand in a circle, and everybody, you know, cocks the hammer and points the gun at the back of the person in front of them's head. And when the light goes on, everybody pulls the trigger. And whoever's left standing advances to the next round. So at the same time that I'm seeing this movie, I'm getting fucking, Lee High's on me about doing a roast. Jeanette, you know, a few other people have made mention about doing it. I think Rotten actually mentioned it a while back. Still, I got to thinking, well, all right, we could either, you know, assemble a list of people and kind of make it like a RSVP type thing or an invitation only deal. Or we can just do like that movie 13 and open up the lines, anything goes. You and I have a small list of people, and whatever other co-hosts are on the air at the time will have their lists of people. And I thought the way that it would go until people actually call in to start doing their own part of the roast, I thought what we would do is pretty much one person would read off their list, going top to bottom, and call out the name, and everybody who has that name on their list obviously has commentary, so it would all get fired off at that point in time about that person. So that's kind of the way I thought this would go down. But again, until somebody really organizes this shit and really shows me that this is something that's going to be heavy participation, it's just it's written in pencil on the calendar. So
Right on. Well, it sounds like a cool idea. So just a matter of getting some things organized. I saw that Lehigh on Sin Again was talking about how he'd like to see some organization put to it. So maybe he'll come up with something here pretty soon. We actually have a caller on the line, the 615 area code. I don't know if that's not Zach, is it? Just listening in, is it?
It looks like Jeanette's number, yeah, but I don't memorize everybody's numbers, so I have no fucking idea. You probably better answer
okay.
it just in case.
Okay. The call-in number, by the way, for those who are interested in calling in, is 347-989-1371. And we didn't really have a show topic for tonight, so if you have some questions you'd like to ask myself or TC and want a bluntly honest answer, because I've been drinking tonight, so... celebrating the Super Bowl, woohoo! And so you'll get an honest answer from me. Go ahead and call in. 615 air code, you're on the U's. What's on your brain?
Oh, hey, guys. Yeah, it's me. I was, y'all were talking about the roast. I started a thread about it at Sin. Zach made it sticky. He's already volunteered himself, and so has the Dark Seven. But it really, I don't know, that's about the only two people that have said anything about it that are like, yeah, I'll be there to do it. So.
Yeah, and what
well, I mean,
past people would they be doing it? I was wondering in what capacity, like are they calling, they want to call in and take a shot at somebody, or are they they're saying, yeah, you can talk some shit about me, or what's their thinking as far as you know?
Zach volunteered to be roasted. Dark Seven wants to roast me specifically.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
So I think, you know what, I think that's probably the way to go is to, you know, name a person, whoever it's going to be, mm-hmm. and then we do a show where, you know, we line some people up who want to call in and roast whoever's being talked about. And then we just mm-hmm. schedule them to call in. They're given a certain amount of time, whatever it is, and then they do their thing. And then, of course, the person being roasted has an opportunity to respond.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, you know, lighthearted and good fun.
Yeah, well, exactly. I thought it would kind of be like a reverse of the highlight edition, sort of, is what I was thinking originally. It's like, you know, the complete opposite
edition.
Of that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, the one where, you know, yeah, we talked to this person for an hour about, you know, how awesome we thought they are. Now here's the other side of it.
Right on. So we just have to get something together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I said,
Zach volunteered to be roasted. I have. Nobody else has. But yeah, no, it's not. You know, I don't know if doing a one massive one to see how it goes with a few different people is a better idea than doing one individually to start with, because it's kind of a new thing.
I don't know. Go for it.
No, man. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I don't see how doing a massive one would really work. I mean, all that pretty much is just like some beauty parlor trick. I'm not really interested in participating in that. That's just sitting around talking shit about people without there being any real game to it. I think if it's going to happen, it needs to be specific. It needs to be in your face, it needs to be funny, lighthearted, but at the same time have a little bit of, I don't know, a poke to it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, you know. I do agree. That's why, like I said, that's how I pitched it originally. I'm just, like I said, I wasn't sure, you know, I think it's a good idea, and, you know, a lot of people have been batting it around. Like I said, you know, I have volunteered to go first, so, you know, you have a volunteer.
Well, the way
this
is pretty much... Please go ahead.
I was going to say, which way would you want to go? Would you want one person to be the roastee and then have a bunch of people lined up to do the roast, you know, be the roasters, so be the ones talking shit, or do you want to do that kind of round-robin thing where everybody... You know, anybody who has anything to say about anybody that might be a little bit funny is on the air, and the price you pay for being on the air that night to talk shit is that other people are going to be on the air to talk shit about you.
Mm.
That's the way I'm looking at it, man. I'm thinking 13 all the way, dude. If you're going to pull the trigger, you need to have a gun to the back of your head. That's just the way I'm going at it.
I like that. Yeah.
So.
Okay. So. So, how would you want to organize that? Like, would you want, if I said, okay, I'm going to talk shit. I got something to say that I think is pretty funny about TC Downey. Then TC would have to be on the air, obviously, and you'd have something funny to say about somebody else. Would it be established already that I'm going to say something about you, you're going to say something about, you know, Jeanette's going to say something about Zach, and so on and so forth? Or, because, you know, what you would end up with is a bunch of people on the line, and it ends up just being a free-for-all. I talk some shit about you, and then you might have five other people going, yeah, I totally agree with that. That's a funny shit. That's exactly right. And then, of course, you have your rebuttal and what have you, which could be fun, but also could just turn into a huge mess.
I think that's sort of the way that I was thinking of it. Again, I'm going to go back to that movie 13, because what they did there was each person had a player. So that player is given a number. All right. So all that would happen is somebody would have to be a facilitator. Somebody would have to organize and know who's all going to participate. they would organize and give those numbers out, so they would call the names. All right, this person needs to be there. You know, they need to have somebody to talk shit about, so, or they have somebody to talk shit about that they've entered their player into it, and it would go like that. So let's say, for instance, Jeanette's got my number. Mm-hmm. All right, and I got yours. So now it's our three names are entered into the hat. Anybody who is participating in this doesn't just have to have somebody, one particular person in mind, but if they want to have something to say about any of the rest of the names that are in that pot, that's cool. But mm-hmm. each person has to bring a new name.
Mm-hmm. So are you saying, like, let's say we had seven people participating, and it would be a matter of, okay, you're all going to call in, and you've all been assigned a random person. We drew lotteries or whatever. So I've been assigned you, TC. So my job is, my main thing there is to make sure that I have something to say about you. But then anybody else who wants to say something about you is free to join in.
Exactly.
And then after our piece has been said, then, of course, you have somebody else's name, so you're responsible for saying something about that person. But then again, anybody else who's on the line is welcome to join in as well.
Right. And everybody's going to get talked shit about. Everybody that's on the line is going to get talked shit about. Because in order to be on that line in the first place, you have to have been somebody's target.
Right. Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Now, I was going to say, if it's on Wall Purgis night, is it going to be a similar setup to last year with the cameras and Tiny Chat? You know, like, you could probably even add a drinking game to it if you thought about it, you know, hard enough.
Let's get the main idea locked in stone and etched out, ironed out, and then we'll add the, I don't know, the festivities to it. I mean, we always come up with something crazy to do. I mean, I'm sure there's some way to make it even more fun.
Mm-hmm. Right on. I think it's one of the
organization done, some promotion done. I mean, that's really pretty much the way that this thing is going to turn into, you know, something fun, is that there's a lot of promotion done, there's a lot of turnout, there's a lot of people with shit to say, and I think the more people on the air, the better.
Okay. And are you, so you're willing to let people call in from outside this thing then?
Yes.
So I guess what I see happening is that you and I, we put this out there, that on Walt Burgess Knock, you and I are going to talk shit about one another. And then we're going to take shots at one another. Just what we find irritating or whatever about the other person. And then, of course, you're inviting somebody like whoever's listening, which could be Derek, it could be Ron French, it could be anybody, who might, you know, call in to go, yeah, here's my shot about TC Downey, about Jason Sorrell. So what happens then when somebody outside this little list of people who are supposed to be calling in actually pipes in with their opinion?
Well, if they're piping in with their opinion, they're open game. They got a gun at the back of their head too. I'm sure there's not one person that can cast a stone in any one direction and not have, you know, a stone flying at them from any other direction. If you know what I'm saying, we all do dumb shit, and we all irritate certain people.
So one of the rules then would have to be that if somebody was coming in and, you know, calling in that night, they would have to identify themselves as I'm so-and-so of this forum or this whatever, and this is what I think of, you know, this person. And they let lie. That way, you know, because, yeah, I mean, you could have some knucklehead call in from just, you know, random. We've never heard of this guy. And, you know, oh, I've been listening to you guys for a month and everything else, and you all suck, you know, whatever the deal might be. And, of course, I'm sure we can handle that. You know, we could tear into them, but it'd be a little bit better if we knew who was talking to who. Tim is hardcore in the chat room asking, what the hell is Walt Purgis? Walt Purgis Knocked is April 30th. It's a Satanist holiday, I guess. It's the night that LaVey chose to inaugurate the Church of Satan. It's related to some sort of German saint, a female who was martyred. What that has to do with Satanism, I'm not exactly sure. But it's also considered traditionally a witch's holiday. It's the night before May Eve. And whenever you have a positive day in the calendar as far as holy days for a lot of these religions, especially out of Europe, you'll have a day of balance opposite it. So like with Christmas Eve, Christmas is the day that, you know, Jesus of Nazareth is supposedly born. That's when they celebrate it. Well, in Christian tradition, Christmas Eve is considered a night when the evil spirits are given, you know, a little bit of free rein. Children born on Christmas Eve have a possibility of becoming werewolves, shit like that. So same thing with Halloween. Halloween is the bad night before All Saints Day. So Walpurgisnacht is the negative evening, the evening of evil, basically, prior to May Day or May Eve, the day of the god and goddess uniting in like Wiccan or pagan lore or whatever. I think that's what it is,
right.
Anyways. I mean,
it's also exactly 6 months from Halloween, so. That's another thing.
Yeah, I read all this shit on the back of a beer bottle someplace, so don't trust anything I just said. But anyways.
Right on.
The idea is
still rough, man.
Right on. So the call in number is 347-989-1371. Again, we really didn't have a show topic for this evening. And I figured if anybody wanted to call in, if anybody saw I posted a little link on Facebook and on Sin, if anybody wanted to call in and ask TC or myself a question, now's the night to do it. Most nights we kind of dominate what's being talked about or whatever, and we go on about, you know, whatever it is we're talking about. So tonight, if you got a question you want to pose to one of the two of us or both of us, call in with your question or post in the chat room, and we will do our best to answer that question. I have not a real problem going on, but this year, my birthday's in July, and normally on my birthday I have my daughters all here for the summer. And since the kids are here during the summer, we don't really do anything to celebrate my birthday in a huge way outside my family. It's usually just me, the kids, and Jamie, and that's it. This year I will be turning 40 years old. And since it's not a kind of a landmark date, what we're thinking about doing is, I guess among the things we're thinking about doing is we're thinking about going to a local strip club here and having a party, you know, throwing down. Lehigh or somebody suggested that we even go to Vegas and do it up that way. I'm wondering if, as far as people that are out there in the audience who have celebrated their, you know, 30th or 40th birthday, if they might have any suggestions as to what might be a good idea to do on my 40th birthday. What's something that I should do on that particular day?
Well, you could start with awake.
I start with what?
Awake.
Awake.
Awake, yeah, have everybody
right
wear black, you know, I mean, hell, I mean, if I was Jamie, I'd be putting like a fucking mini billboard in your backyard that says something like, you know, Lordy Lordy Jason's 40 or just reach the top of the hill, it's all down from here.
Right.
I honestly can't wait. You'd better not answer your phone on your birthday. That's all I had to say.
So I'll be celebrating my inevitable demise, so I should have a wake or a mini funeral.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I've already thought about, you know, downloading sound bites like the theme song, the Golden Girls, and you know, stuff like that, so I can play them on your answering machine.
Right on.
It's time, man. It's time to move to Miami and retire.
Time to head off to Florida. My old man and his wife are already there, man. So I've already got another place to land when I show up there. I'm sure they'd be thrilled to have this roll out.
Right about now, you'll begin to notice that the number of gray hairs are starting to outnumber the number of blondes left on you, bud.
Yeah, yeah, I get a lot of that shit. We were actually watching Danny DeVito was on the pregame show tonight, and he was looking rather blonde, in my opinion. You know, Danny DeVito is a dark-haired dude, and he was, like, looking blonde, and Jamie's like, no, that's gray hair. He's just getting really old, and she's like, and you would, she goes, you would see those gray hairs as being blonde. No. So, yeah, I'm already well on my way.
Yeah. I mean, dude, last time I seen you, man, I really honestly thought Jerry Garcia had come back from the dead. So.
Yeah, I got that shit on New Year's, I think, when we were out. A lot of people think I was going as Jerry Garcia or fucking Michael Moore or some shit like that. I have since shaved. I'm actually on the Tiny Chat sitting right now. I've since shaved, gotten a haircut and everything else. I look much younger, much more dapper than I did with the long hair. Yeah, yeah. So gave up on the whole, you know, plan for the Renaissance Festival. But it's still gray on the sides. Got the Reed Richards things going for the comic book geeks out there. Got the gray hair on the sides of the head and shit, and the gray in my beard. So, yeah, I'm feeling
Doctor
it.
Doctor Strange shit going, huh?
Yeah, yeah. And then fucking Tim. I told Tim I was going to be 40 this year and everything else and trying to figure out what we're going to do for my 40th birthday. He's like, you're going to be 40? Really? Well, I thought we were a lot closer in age than that, right? And I think he's like maybe 37, 36. So son of a bitch, you know, he's got, you know, maybe two or three years on me, and he's like, oh, you're way older than I am. Yeah, you fucking bastard. So, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, at least you're still around, man. I mean, at your age, Zach will already be dead and gone.
Jeez, yeah.
I'm just saying. He's got 5 years left, man, so whatever girl... You know, he's smart enough. Marry him for his money. Ride him into the grave. And oh shit! Never mind. There has to be money there, doesn't there?
Yeah. Well, it was interesting. Kind of the kind of hookup that Zach's got, Cassandra. I shouldn't talk about it on the air. Let's just say that Zach looks like he's got things taken care of. He's got things well in hand. So he's on Tiny Chat right now, just kind of staring off the camera. Tonight, Cassandra was on for those people who haven't been on Tiny Chat on Sin, tonight what they missed was Cassandra sitting here on the camera, and then Tim and I showing our brains on the camera. I thought that was pretty cool. So you missed out on that because we were drinking. Look at that. Tim's Hardcore says the 40 is still way young. All right.
Yeah, well,
I'm feeling
just
it.
Keep in mind that he was an advisor to the last pharaoh, so.
right. He's got the Methuselah thing going. So.
Just saying. Just saying, man.
Sure.
Yeah, but 40, wow, man, that's just, I mean, I'm 5 years, admittedly 5 years away from that, but I'm scared to fuck of that, man. I got to say, 40 years old just does not sound cool to me.
Yeah, I guess the only thing that's kind of freaking me out about being 40, there's some health things going on, some things that have finally... You know, I've abused these things too much, and now it's falling apart on me. So I gotta start being concerned about my health, and that's kind of one of the things that got me going. The other thing, of course, is we're having this party tonight, and Lehi, being the brave soul that he is talking to my daughter Vanessa, who will be 18 in May, and they are getting along. All right, I'm sure there's nothing to it, but. But they were a little bit more involved in their conversation than I think I would have been comfortable with had I been completely sober. And more than once I tried to make them uncomfortable with the whole situation, they didn't care. They're, you know, they're talking on the couch, they're talking on the balcony and everything else. Lehi's only a few years older than Vanessa is, and she'll be 18 and totally able to make her own decisions here in a few months. Kind of scary, man. So
yeah.
That's the big thing that freaks me out of being 40, is having a kid
right.
who's about 18.
Grandkids.
Grandkids. Yeah, man, I don't even think about grandkids.
Yeah. Man, I mean, no offense, dude, but hopefully that doesn't happen, because I'm just picturing, like, you know, spawn of Vanessa and Lehi, and that just doesn't look right in my mind.
See, I didn't even go that far in my head, man, because Lehi probably would have made it out of the apartment. she's not down with all that. And she's dated before. She's had different relationships with different people and everything else. So that's one of the things. Getting older is being used to my little girl, you know, not being so little anymore, and dealing with that. It would be easier if I had a son, I suppose. A son going out and doing whatever, you know, you can kind of celebrate that and everything. And with a little girl, I guess you try to celebrate everything else, but there's still something to it, I guess. There's still, I don't know, the instinctual protective part of the human nature when it comes to, you know, the male, the women in the male's life and everything else. I don't know. But yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah, that would be a little strange. I mean, personally, I've got she's got to be 20 now, a 20-year-old ex-stepdaughter. It's been a couple of years since I've seen her. But before that, I was in relatively regular contact with her. I know from personal experience that it's not difficult to pull the broadsword off the wall just as her date's showing up, and kind of, you know, lug it over your shoulder and just lean over at him and, you know, say, hey, I think you guys are going to be home at 8:30.
Yeah, I broke out the battle axe tonight. I showed off the battle axe with the mace end and everything else. And Lehi's, oh, look, cool. And I was like, yeah, they're looking sharp enough.
Right on. Hey, come here. Look at this double barrel shotgun I've got. Look how clean those barrels are.
Right. It's impressive.
Okay, you better get closer.
That's the thought process, though. It's 40 this year. The kids are old enough to stay home and do their own thing. So this year, going to the strip club, probably going out to have dinner someplace, and just hanging out. And going to try to invite pretty much everybody. So that would be my intention. We're going to meet at like the Yellow Rose, the Palazzo, or Rick's or something. I have no idea. Because I could put the word out there and find out what a good strip club to go to would be. And just tell everybody that we're going to be there at a certain time and see what kind of insanity happens at the strip clubs here in Austin. So that'll be this summer, I guess. Celebrate being 40 the right way, I guess.
All right, just do me a favor, and before you jump to the next club, send me a text and let me know where you're going so I can have balloons at every place.
I will, man.
Right on. Actually, if you take Ken with you, I'll just have Ken keep me informed. He can run, what do they call it? Oh, fuck, I forget. I just got done smoking, man, so now I'm feeling better and I'm forgetting everything.
Well, I know Ken would be a good dude to have at a strip club. So I think that would be a real party and everything else. And what I'm really thinking about, what would be kind of funny, is that you were at a strip club. All the different kinds of people that are in my life, all at this one place, this one kooky environment, you know, a strip club. And just seeing kind of what shit goes down. So it should be a good time. So we just got, again, it's just a matter of figuring out where we're going to be at. But, yeah, I'm sure Ken will, you know, be there and keep you informed as what's going on. Lehi will be there to keep everybody, you know, There'll be cameras and shit. It'll be crazy.
I know all those people are either listening right now or will listen to this show, and I'm just gonna I'm not gonna suggest to them that they should, you know, pay the oldest stripper to give you a lap dance. I won't make that suggestion.
Yeah, hire a very old woman to come in that night.
Exactly, like 90.
Yes, she's 65 and she's ready to go with the lap dance for our birthday boy, Jason Thrill. Let's give it up for Helga. It'll be great.
Oh, shit. I guess I'm going to have to get busted my ass if I want to make a surprise trip to fucking Austin.
Yeah.
There's no way I can let you go without being tortured that whole day, man. There's just no way.
Yeah, it's gonna be an interesting day. That's for sure.
Right on.
So,
but on a more serious note, I may in fact show up there sometime in the future. I'm actually my old lady's sister's getting married to a guy who's stationed in Oklahoma. And so she's going to need, since she doesn't drive, she's going to need somebody to drive her there. So
right.
I figure that can't be real far from Texas. And I know Austin's way down in it, but
yeah,
I mean, I'm going to have to make a drive home anyway. Might as well take
right
a pit stop.
Depending on where you're at in Oklahoma, we're probably about 6 to 8 hours south. But yeah, man, that would be cool. So if you make it out here, just let me know, and we'll be waiting for you.
Yeah, I'm gonna try, man. It's something I've been saying I wanted to do. I mean, first and foremost, there's a matter of a devil girl or a demon girl that I need to get tattooed on, man.
Right on. I finally handed Tim his demon girl that I drew up for him. So he's really excited about that. And I think he's thinking about getting that as a tattoo. So, and I've got
right,
the design that I did for you still here. So, yeah, man, we'll
yeah,
we'll
I saw him on the wall.
It'll be a good time.
Right on. I saw him on the wall, man. And, you know, the first thing that I thought was, that bitch, look at all the artwork he's done.
Oh, I thought it'd be funny to. I thought it'd be interesting to. We ended up in just a corner of the apartment. We put up a bunch of my artwork, covered up even a window in the blind, covered up the floor, and took some pictures. And yeah, it was not even all. It was not even a third of the stuff that was actually sitting there. So a little crazy. We're trying to figure out what to do with all of it. We're trying to scan it in and put it together in some sort of book form so that's a little bit easier to look at. But even that's turning out to be quite a task because my computer's it's about full, man. So I got to find some sort of get hooked up with some sort of external hard drive or maybe even a new machine. But that's down the road.
You've got like 90+% of that shit scanned in, man. You should just go to a vinyl maker and have a stick-on wallpaper made of it.
So yeah, that would be kind of cool.
Would be cool. What's that?
Right on. Yeah, that'd be cool. Just put it up on the wall or whatever. That'd be kind of cool. Or see what else I can do with it.
Yeah, I mean, I always kind of, I saw this tattoo studio, it had to have been back in like 95, and all the flash was done on this wallpaper. There were no, like, you know, you gotta have your traditional flash holders. There was none of that shit. The walls were just solid flash, and it had a little reference number next to each one.
Oh, right on.
I always thought that was cool.
The shops I worked at, the really old flash had prices by it, and it was always, you know, this conversation you had to have. No, we're not doing that tattoo for $5. It's not happening. But yeah, I think that'd be kind of cool. That, you know, even if you didn't have the reference numbers by it, just, you know, if it's up on the walls and, you know, yeah, take a look at the walls. The flashes are all over the place. And have somebody go up and go, I'm thinking about something like this. And you just point it out, talk about the price, and work out the design, and yeah, that'd rock. And of course, the reference number would help you find the file in your flash and on your file cabinet or whatever on the computer. That way you could print it up. But yeah, that'd rock.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I mean, it certainly was. They closed a couple years later, but.
That would be the one downside, I think, is that if you had your walls set up like that in a tattoo shop, because your flash, that's something you can resell. But if it's not something that you can actually, I mean, if it's part of the wall, then you can't resell that shit. They're going to tear it down, and it doesn't matter what's on the wall. I guess that's the advantage of having the flash set available to, you know, pull off the wall and take with you, is that you can turn around and sell it. And I've bought some flash that way. You know, found people that were selling their flash. They, you know, the shop closed or whatever. They were getting rid of it. Run across that before. So let me throw the number out there, 347-989-1371. Any questions you might have for TC or myself, if you want to call in and ask us questions, we've got about 20 minutes left. Oh man, I don't know what else is going on. What's been going on with your shows? I've been trying to. I forget what day it was of the week. I want to say Wednesday. Yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah,
right? Wednesday. Yeah. What's been going on with that show?
Well, this past week, man, I just BTR had a major fart. I couldn't get into the switchboard or anything. No, it just would not let me onto the website. It wouldn't let me onto the main website. It wouldn't let me onto the Ooze's specific page. Nothing. And so I called in, and I was trying to fix the problem, and finally just said, fuck it. So,
yeah.
And then the week prior, I think we had a show, so...
Oh, right on. That much, I just missed it. Okay. So,
yeah,
I mean...
Saturday night's show failed because of technical difficulties, too. So, I'm just happy I made it here tonight.
Right on. I know that Lehi talked about how he's having some issues with his setup. He's trying to get something, a headset for Skype or something like that. So, hopefully gets that resolved here pretty quick. Yeah, I'm not sure. With Tuesday, this is I haven't really planned it out. I have no clue what we're going to be talking about Tuesday. Probably, of course, election season's heated up, so you know there's that going on. I don't know if I want to talk about the election, man. Everybody else is talking about it, so I don't know. I'll find something to talk about. And it'll be, you know, I don't know, a little more thought out.
But, you can do an anti-politics show.
Yeah, why even bother? Why pay attention to any of these people? It all sucks. As a matter of fact, I've gotten a message, speaking of how it all sucks and everything else, I've gotten a message from this dude. I don't know if you got this message or not. This guy, I think it's the same guy, he contacted me on YouTube, and then he contacted me on Sin. And his story is the same in both places. Basically, what he said is he's seen some video that I shot on YouTube where I talked about turning your back on everything, just walking away, just, you know, just giving up, you know, walking away from society, getting to really live on your own with no money, nothing, none of that going on, and just getting out from under the system. And his question was, he said that he actually has done this and that he's now squatting in an abandoned building. And he didn't do this at our behest. He didn't do this, you know, on our advice. He just did this on his own, and they saw this video. So he's, you know, he's squatting in a building. He's, you know, he lives, you know, hand to mouth, basically. You know, he doesn't have any money or anything like that. And he wonders what my opinion would be about what to do now. You know, now that he is basically effectively off the grid and out there, you know, homeless and jobless and living by his wits. So I thought I'd ask, man, what would you tell this guy? He's sending you these messages. What would you say to him in regards to what should he do next?
In my personal opinion? live his life.
Yeah.
If he's successfully gotten himself completely off the grid, just live his life. Shit. Look for what else there is out there. I mean, hell, the thing about prison, the way that people become institutionalized by them is that they become no longer familiar with what's on the other side of the wall. So after a while, they just forget, you know, that there are other things to do other than the things that they're doing. There's nothing going on that other side of the wall. So when they finally get out, they have no idea what to do with themselves because, well, they've spent their entire, you know, their entire life or whatever up until that point behind walls.
Right on. Yeah, I think I agree with that. I think that that's, you know, I mean, you know, what could I tell this guy to do? You know, and my thing, whatever you're going to do, if you're going to do anything other than, you know, you're out there, you're doing your thing, and you're free, relatively, then, you know, maybe if you want to do something other than, you know, making sure that you continue to be free, maybe act as a guide or act as an example to the people around you. Maybe, you know, do something creative. Get engaged in art or writing or whatever and do something that way. My main thing would be by serving as an example. You know, if you got people around you, if you're in that situation where you've actually gotten out from under the system, where you're squatting or whatever, usually somebody like that can't really do that on their own, especially squatting. Usually you're doing that with help, with people around you or whatever. So you probably already engaged in this kind of thing, but reach out to people that are around you. And if you care about somebody, you're concerned about somebody, maybe reach out to them and go, you know, hey, I've got this other way of doing things and it's working. Maybe you should look into this as well.
Right on. Well, fuck for that matter. I mean, that's all fine and dandy. I completely agree with that. But on the other hand, if you're free of the system, buy a fucking eye patch and a wooden leg and go rape and pillage if that's what makes you happy. You know?
Right on.
I do want to suggest, however, man, that if he's sending you a message asking you what to do next, then he really hasn't completely gone off the grid. He's just, you know, dropped below a government level or something, you know, some certain level of thing. But if you're dependent upon other people for ideas or thoughts or direction, then you haven't successfully disconnected yourself from the matrix, no matter how free you think you are.
Yeah, well, here's my question, and this is a little random, but, like, if you're trying to be I'm failing to understand how somebody is doing this but has, like, internet access on some kind of level, and in a lot of ways, I don't know, isn't the internet in a lot of ways another manifestation of that matrix? Wouldn't that be, like, I don't know. I think if I was doing that, the last place I would be doing is logging in anywhere.
Well, the message I got from him on YouTube is that he was going to the library, and you still have to set up an account or whatever. So in some cursory way, he's still plugged into the system. But he's going to the library to, like, charge up his phone, get on the computer or whatever. Which, you know, when you look at the way you mentioned the Matrix, part of their thing was that once they get out, the only way to maintain their security, to maintain their freedom on the other side, was to, on occasion, go back in and do things to help them secure their distance between themselves and the prison they had escaped, that it wasn't enough just to escape from that prison. What I'd tell this guy, and I have, and that's, I guess, that's part of the thing that I have trouble, you know, wrapping my head around. He says, you know, he's doing his thing with little or no money. Internet access, even with a cell phone, to have that cell phone working or whatever, you have to be paying something. There are programs out there and everything else, I suppose. My thing, it wouldn't just be enough to be away from or to have gotten out from under the system. But then I would start building my fortress, basically, intellectually, conceptually, physically or whatever. I would be building this fortress out there to secure my position. And how he goes about that, it just depends on what his needs are. Because at that point, he's been defining himself on his own. It's not, he shouldn't be defining himself based on whatever standards I might have while still in the prison.
That's precisely what I'm saying. I mean, beyond that, what guarantee is there really that by continuing to go back in and do things, you're really securing your fate? I mean, I just kind of want to touch back on that, because that was really the whole thrust of the entire movie, was that not just the movie, but the movie series, was that it was a cycle that just kept going, because they kept going back in, kept interacting, kept trying to wake up more people. So in essence, I mean, that might be an error in thought. I think if you get out, fucking grab your knapsack and hike it. Get out, because stay out.
Right on. And yeah, I see your point that, escaping from this particular system just means that you find yourself in a larger, maybe more subtle system. And I think we've had that argument, not you and I necessarily, but we've had that discussion in different forums we've been involved in, where, escape from one level of restrictions means that while you have more freedom relatively, you still find yourself within a set of restrictions. That freedom is not is not absolute. It's always going to be relative. There's always going to be a limit. It's a matter of, are those limits defined for you, or are they something you're defining for yourself?
Exactly. That I think is the only kind of freedom we can ever really reach, is being self-defined, the freedom to define self.
Right. I mean, and it's always going to be within the limits of, you're a human being. You have, you're so tall, you weigh so much. You live in a particular area or whatever, and even that you can change or whatever, but there's always going to be that limitation eventually you hit that wall. But better to be as free as possible, which this guy is. And I'm surprised, I guess the other thing that kind of takes me aback by this guy's request is that, you've taken these steps, and the suggestion is that he's taken these steps voluntarily. That's not a situation he found himself thrust into where he's homeless and squatting or whatever. But he's taking these steps voluntarily. If you have the creativity, if you have the wherewithal to make that kind of thing happen in your life, you shouldn't be someone who needs somebody else to suggest to you what to do next.
You
should pretty much have that figured out.
Yeah, you would think you would already know exactly where you're going with the ball,
Right. If anything, I should be asking you, how did you do it? And what could I do to help myself? Not the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, I can applaud his effort, but it just sounds to me like he's using it as an excuse to be homeless, which is most certainly not what we've been suggesting at all. It's not the idea of, running around being all homeless and hobo and fucking whatever.
Right.
It's the idea of being self-defined, self-sufficient, self-governed, as independent as possible. I think that's, that's the one thing innately that every organism struggles towards from conception on.
Right. Yeah, circumstance leads you to a position where you're homeless. If circumstance leads you to a situation where you have no money, you have no food, well, you haven't gotten out from under the system. You're just at the lowest possible ass end of the system, basically. You're still in it.
Yeah,
you're still engaged in it.
Yeah, you're being rejected
right.
by it, in essence. Rather than, rejecting it, it's rejecting you. It's a bit of a different thing.
Right.
I mean, like, if somebody truly did that of their own volition, I would be pretty sure that you had a pretty secure plan of what to do next. I mean, like, that's a pretty drastic measure to have taken to have no next step entailed whatsoever.
Right. I almost wonder if this guy was asking, how does he improve his situation? You know, and it's like, well, in what way? You know, what direction? And if it's a matter of if you're not happy with the way things are, well, then you didn't define it yourself. Like you said, you were pushed out by the system. You didn't, the system, you know, you didn't choose to reject the system. Because if you made that choice to reject it, well, then, you know, congratulations. You're where you want to be.
You used a choice, and that's really what it's all about, man. I mean, I'm just going to point back to the whole Matrix thing, that, you know, it's the red pill or it's the blue pill, and it's your choice.
Right.
When you decide to make that choice, that's, you know, when you go whatever direction it is.
Right on. So we got about a little less than 5 minutes left. Anybody wants to call in real quick, I guess, 347-99-1371, although we're running out of time here. I don't know, man. What thoughts do you have? How's the tattoo apprenticeship going?
Well, I'm loving it. I think I made mention of it last week that I was having some swelling in my hand or whatever. And, well, that was a persistent problem for the first couple of days of school this week, but it's something that I eventually worked through. And I mean, literally worked through. I drew squiggly line after squiggly line after squiggly line until finally I started to get some steadiness back and the discomfort started to alleviate. So by Friday, I was doing pretty good. I mean, I was still only hitting a nice, straight, perfect line every, I don't know, 12th of them or whatever, but it was happening. So I guess you could say there's some forward progress having been made, but it was a major setback in the beginning of the week, and I was really getting pissed off about it.
Yeah, and how quickly do you think, and I was asked this, how quickly will you have completed the class portion of your apprenticeship?
At this point, I'm already in the advanced portions, and John keeps threatening to make me sit in that classroom for a year, but if things move as fast as they have been, then I can't see having to do any more than 2 or 3 months more, so...
Right on. Wow. Right on. Even a year is quick for a tattoo apprenticeship.
Yeah. I'm pretty lucky enough that I'm pretty talented in all the right aspects. I've got good spatial aptitude. I've got, pretty steady hands, and I kind of can picture what I'm doing ahead of time before I start doing it, which I think helps greatly. Because it's already kind of in my mind. It's already been done by the time I put my hand to the machine. So.
Right on. All right. Well, by the time we do the show next week, I'll thought of something to kind of focus the conversation on. We only got a minute and some change left before the top of the hour, so unless you got something else you want to say, I think we just roll the outro and call it a night.
Real quick, I did want to make mention that Praxis edition that we did prior to this past week's was actually mostly focused on Kevorkian. One of our listeners had sent an email to us asking, what our thoughts were on Kevorkian. And though we did do one show to it already, I really think that there's some topics there that could be really looked at. Compassion, empathy. There's just a slew of different things which some might consider to be moral values and others might look as more of like principle value. And I think it might be interesting at some point to hit on that.
Oh, yeah, no, I really like that idea. I was going to say that. I mean, I know that we didn't hit the topics you wanted to focus on very well, especially in the second portion. But no, I did think that the first portion was kind of working. Yeah, there were a great number of things that were hit on lightly that could definitely be expanded on and fill a whole hour by themselves.
Oh, right on. So that'd be cool. So we'll look at getting that set up.
Yep. So anyway, with all that being said and done, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right. We'll catch you guys later. You've been listening to the U's.